This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. You've undoubtedly seen news coverage discussing a housing crisis, both nationally and here in Cincinnati. You've probably also seen the studies that show Cincinnati has a shortage of housing that's affordable for people with low and moderate incomes. The City of Cincinnati's Notice of Funding Availability, or NOFA, process aims to help fill that gap. Joining me to discuss the program and how it's working are WVXU local government reporter Becca Costello. Welcome back, Becca.
Hi, Lucy.
Over the Rhine Community Housing senior housing developer, Ben Eilerman. Thanks for being here, Ben.
Thanks for having me.
Urban Sites Affordable Housing Vice President, Tim Westrick. Welcome, Tim.
Thanks. Good to be here.
And 8K Development Company partner, Michael Tuning. Thanks for being here, Michael.
Hi, Lucy. Thanks.
You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk at wvxu.org. Becca, let's start with you. Tell us more about the annual Notice of Funding Availability, or NOFA. Give us kind of a brief overview. What does it do and what does it not do? What's the deal with NOFA?
So NOFA, it's kind of a funny name. If you just say it, it doesn't really tell you anything about what it is. NOFA is basically a public gap financing tool. So what that means, especially in the affordable housing area, is that it's very expensive to build affordable housing. And so a developer might say, all right, I've got this much in equity. I've got kind of some financing available, but there's a gap. I can't get it all the way. So the project is not feasible. It can't actually go ahead without some subsidy. NOFA is one form of subsidy. It is city money. There's several different sources from it. Some of it is federal that the city chooses to use for this program. A couple of other things that are maybe a little bit too complicated to go into, but basically it's a pot of money that developers apply to and say, here's my project, the number of units I'm trying to build. Generally, the city prioritizes housing that is affordable, which means in this context, at least about 80% AMI or less, and AMI is area median income. And so it's something that the city does every year. This year was a little bit more notable, one, in that it was more money than is typical. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One is that this council and mayoral administration has kind of prioritized affordable housing more than the previous administration. But the other reason that we can't forget is the millions of dollars that the city has gotten in federal stimulus money, which will not last forever. So something to keep in mind for the future. But that's a basic overview.
Yeah. And tell us, I know there are often concerns raised about where affordable housing is built, where the city's investing. Talk to us about the neighborhoods where NOFA money was allocated this year, and whether they're the same neighborhoods that already have affordable housing, whether it's kind of diversifying the areas.
Yeah, so this round of NOFA, there are nine neighborhoods, projects in nine neighborhoods. It's East Price Hill, Paddock Hills, West End, Walnut Hills, Lower Price Hill, Evanston, Northside, Avondale, Over the Rhine, and Pendleton. Now, a report that the city did earlier this year was looking at where not just affordable housing, but housing in general has been built over the last few years. This is looking at about 5 years. And that report found that the majority, vast majority of new affordable housing in the last 5 years has been concentrated in Walnut Hills, Avondale, and the West End. There are lots of reasons for that. One of the things, you know, when asked about this round of NOFA, when I, you know, asked the administration, was that a factor in deciding where to award these? The answer is kind of yes, but also the overall idea from this administration is that affordable housing should be everywhere in the city, not just in certain neighborhoods, but not in certain neighborhoods either, not avoiding neighborhoods that already have affordable housing necessarily. So it's kind of a complicated part of the discussion, but yes, it is a factor in this. But I think the main message from the administration is every neighborhood of Cincinnati should have housing that is affordable to lower income households.
Yeah. And Ben, talk to us about, Becca touched on this, but what makes this money so important for developing affordable housing, for just making the math work?
Yeah, so I think as Becca mentioned, we use a variety of sources to build these projects. The main source that we typically use is low-income housing tax credits. So that's a very competitive award that we go after. And that will typically cover these days about 75% of project cost. And that is a percentage that has unfortunately been going down and down as the cost of building these projects goes up and up. And so the NOFA funding provides that gap. It provides those dollars that come in that really make the project viable. And what that means is that we can build these projects with little to no debt, and that allows the rents to remain affordable because we don't carry ongoing debt service payments, and we can use the money that we do collect from those lower restricted rents to run these units well.
And is that NOFA funding available? Is that once a year, twice a year? How often do you get the opportunity to apply for that?
So typically, it's been my experience that the city releases that once a year. There have been times, I believe, where they've released a couple notices, mm-hmm. if you will.
Gotcha. So, Michael, Becca addressed this a little bit too, but what income level will these developments serve? Your development in particular is The Bridge in Evanston. Talk to us about who you're looking to attract in that housing development.
Right. So The Bridge is a 50 to 80% AMI project. That is, in round dollars, about $33,000 for a one-person household, $53,000. So we're really looking for service workers, teachers, policemen, firefighters. That's who the housing could be for, anyone in that range. Our projects in Evanston, we also have one in the West End that's 9 units. They're a little bit on the higher range of the AMI from some other projects because they're not funded with LIHTC. So our projects do still have to carry some debt capacity. So we are still striving to make affordable housing, but in more of the moderate income range.
Gotcha. And Tim, talk to us about what income level Vandalia Point and Northside will serve.
Sure. So Vandalia Point is 52 units of family affordable housing, and that's we're co-developers with Over the Rhine Community Housing. We have 20% of those units, of the 52 units, are dedicated to families that make 30% of the area median income or lower, which is about that $30,000 or less mark. We have some units that are restricted to people at 50% AMI or lower, and some at 30% AMI and lower. And our units are a mix of efficiencies, 1 bedrooms, 2 bedrooms, and 3 bedrooms.
Becca, talk to us a little bit more about how big the need is for this affordable housing. You know, we've been talking about all these different levels of income that are being targeted through this housing. How important is this, and how big is the need out there?
It would be difficult to overestimate the need. It's huge. The need is great. And I think what's important to point out is all of these projects for this year are at 80% AMI or lower. Most of them are at 60% AMI or lower. The lower the income, the greater the need is. So looking at some numbers this morning, and this is census data info that the Department of Housing and Urban Development looks at and analyzes every year. And looking at those, you know, 62% of all Cincinnati households earn 80% AMI or less. So when we're talking about the number of units in this year, it's 408 total new units funded by NOFA. 62% of Cincinnati households would qualify income-wise for those units. Half of that 62% is what's considered cost burden. It means they're already paying at least 30% of their income on housing and utilities. Many of those are what's called extremely cost burden, which means they're spending more than half of their income on housing and utilities. And when you look at, you know, a household of any income level can be cost burdened. But when you look at those higher income levels, so looking at 80% AMI or above, only about 4% of those households are cost burdened. So yes, there does need to be housing just in general across the board, all income levels. But when you look at the numbers, the need seems to be much greater in those lower income levels than in the 80% AMI and higher.
And Ben, when you think about how this funding fits into the mix, are these grants, are these loans? How does it fit into kind of the math that you do to make all this work?
Yeah, part of what makes these funds really valuable to our projects is that they are flexible. They do come in as loans to the project, but especially in today's market, the loans are at very low interest rates. And so that is a pressure that projects are really feeling right now with the rising interest rates, both on our construction loans and then if we carry permanent loans. So the city being able to offer these funds at this low rate. And then additionally, the city has been a good partner in structuring those loans in a way that can really be advantageous to the projects, understanding that with this deep need, that there needs to be some creativity.
We're talking about the city's NOFA process with WVXU local government reporter Becca Costello, Over the Rhine Community Housing senior housing developer Ben Eilerman, Urban Sites Affordable Housing Vice President Tim Westrick, and 8K Development Company partner Michael Chuning. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk at wvxu.org. Michael, talk with us about how this money can help facilitate historic preservation at the same time you're creating affordable housing.
Yeah, thanks for that. The projects AK is focusing on are all mixed use and historic business districts of Cincinnati. Especially when you're working on historic renovations, the cost of construction are just going up and up, and the ability to finance them is going down. So this NOFA kind of plugs in the gap and makes it all more realistic.
Yeah. And is that part of what the project is in Evanston? Is that part of how you're fitting all those pieces together?
Yeah, right. So one of the, in addition to NOFA, the projects, all of the AK projects will be financed with historic tax credits that are both available from the state and the federal government.
So, Tim, talk to us about Urban Sites involvement. You mentioned that you're partnering with Over the Rhine Community Housing on this particular project, but Urban Sites doesn't only do affordable housing. Why is it important to the company to be involved in affordable housing development?
Sure. Urban Sites is a developer and general contractor that's been in business for about 30 years, and we've mostly done historic renovation of older buildings in Over the Rhine, Pendleton, Walnut Hills. We started seeing a need a couple years ago about how these neighborhoods needed any development back when Urban Sites was getting started in the late 80s, early 90s. They needed apartments of any kind. They needed office. They needed retail. So Urban Sites was part of that renaissance of our neighborhoods with other very important developers. And what we started seeing just in the past couple years is these neighborhoods, in order to maintain their healthiness, needed affordable housing, needed apartments that were available to people making that 60% area median income or lower, that we had satisfied the need for upper income housing. And to me and to Urban Sites, what makes a healthy neighborhood is when you have that variety, when you can house a variety of people at different income scales. You can have neighborhood businesses that sell things to all, people of all stripes, of all income levels. You have very high end income restaurants. You have restaurants that have, you know, pizza, burgers, stuff that's available to a variety of people. So we think it's super important to have healthy neighborhoods, to have that, you know, spectrum of housing.
Okay, if I could jump in there really quickly too, because I think that gets to the question that you were asking as well, which is like, which neighborhoods have a lot of affordable housing? Because the idea of like mixed income is something that you hear developers and the administration talk about a lot. And that's true in both like an individual development, where sometimes the goal is to have households of many different incomes in one building, but also in a neighborhood, right? You know, the idea of not concentrating poverty in one area. So, you know, that's something that I think the administration was looking at in the applications for NOFA as well. And other NOFA, you know, it should be said, is just one way that the city can incentivize affordable housing.
And Becca, what do you hear when you're at City Hall, which I know you are a lot? What do you hear from residents? What do you hear from neighbors about having all this housing built in their neighborhoods? Is it welcome in most places? What kind of feedback do you hear from residents?
That's a really big question. I don't think there's a way to answer that in a general way. I think it can be very dependent on the project. It can be very dependent on the neighborhood. I know, for example, that there are some neighborhoods that feel there's been too much affordable housing built in a way that concentrates poverty, or that it raises that concern of concentrating poverty. You know, it's just difficult to say, you know, I think if you asked anybody in Cincinnati, do we need more affordable housing? They would say, yeah. You say, okay, what about down the street? And they'd say, no. That's not true for everyone. But I think it is difficult. You know, it's one thing to champion a need in the city. It's another thing to think about how it might change your own neighborhood or your own block. And, you know, it's something that policymakers have to be aware of and think about when they're making decisions. But, you know, at the end of the day, the city needs more affordable housing, and it's got to go somewhere. You know, maybe that's too like editorializing, but I think that's at least where policymakers are coming from, and I think where developers are coming from as well. You know, we all recognize there's a need, so it just needs to get done, and it needs to go somewhere.
Ben, talk to us about the kind of engagement you have with the community when you're planning a project. I know most developers have these conversations with community councils, with neighbors. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, I think the Vandalia Point project is a really great example of how we try to reach out to neighborhoods and how we try to partner with folks who are there. And so with that project, we were before community council several times, really working with them to understand what they wanted to see for this site and what they wanted the buildings to ultimately be. So on that project, you know, we had an initial design that we were looking at that brought, you know, the number of units that we were looking for, the mix of units, family units, single bedroom units. But what we heard is that there was a desire for more accessibility in the neighborhood. And so, you know, working with Urban Sites and particularly their construction arm, we were able to say, all right, what can we do here? And that resulted in us redesigning the buildings to provide more units that had elevator access. And so bringing that back to the community, I think they felt a lot of kind of ownership of that process, and they should have because they were key in making that change.
Yeah, it felt like they were heard. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about your project, Michael? Talk to us about what you all did in terms of talking with the community and engaging with the people who would be the neighbors of this development.
Right, sure. In Evanston, we worked with the Evanston Community Council over the last 18 months. So we had actually applied in NOFA for this project in 2021 and were not awarded. That gave us plenty of time for engagement. So we held many public engagement sessions at Cream and Sugar Coffee House and did a lot of one-on-one engagement, worked through the community council to ultimately craft a project that we think everyone's going to be really happy with.
And did you get pretty much positive response, or what sort of response did you get from neighbors?
I think our approach was to kind of work with them from the ground up. So it wasn't like, please approve or deny this project. We built it alongside of them. So in the end, it's positive because of going through that process.
Yeah. Becca, you mentioned that this NOFA cycle, I think you said it covers about 400 some units of affordable housing. How does that put a dent in the need? I mean, what kind of difference does that make in what we really need locally?
Well, I think any difference is a difference. You know, it when you're talking about the overall need, it's small, but it is not insignificant, I think, is what it is. And what's interesting about this, too, is it's 408 total units. 266 of those are new units, but 142 are preserving existing units. So that is something that's very important. It's critically important to preserve affordable housing units that are falling apart, that, you know, need upkeep in order to remain housing, but it's not new units. And so when you talk about a gap, a number that most people have heard and we've used a lot is that 40,000 gap of affordable housing units. It is a little bit outdated, so I would caution there. But, you know, comparing 408 units to 40,000, that does seem really small. You know, it is just one tool that locally incentivizes and something that, you know, we can't really talk about today, but is the Affordable Housing Trust Fund, which to date has not been used. There's never been an award from the city's Affordable Housing Trust Fund, which will change very soon, I believe. But, you know, NOFA is not the entirety of the city's response to affordable housing. Yeah.
Tim, from where you sit with Urban Sites, what else would be helpful from a developer's perspective to get more affordable housing online, to make it easier to build this housing that so many people need so desperately?
Sure. The big story nowadays is construction prices, as has been well documented, have been rising quite a bit. Interest rates are also on the rise this year. So that's been two big challenges for developers like us to try to grapple with. So these NOFA funds are needed, but we need a lot more funds to build these projects, such as Vandalia Point and the project that Michael was mentioning. So construction prices, some projects that we've heard about have come back 15 and 20% higher when a general contractor goes out to rebid the project. You hear stories, you know, lumber was always the story that had increased sharply in 2020 and 2021. Nowadays, fuel is going up, steel and aluminum are going up. You hear of oddball items on a construction project, like electrical switchgear being hard to find, mm-hmm. and you're not able to place your project in service until you find this one, you know, item that has just become very, very scarce. So long story short, more resources are needed for affordable housing. That's kind of been a drumbeat in affordable housing going back years and years and years. Projects that were difficult to put together 6 and 8 years ago have now become doubly or even triply difficult to put together because of higher construction costs. And you're seeing state housing finance agencies like OFA, which is the one that awards the low-income housing tax credits, have had to go back and put more tax credits into projects. We've had an increase in ARPA funds. That's the American Rescue Plan Act, which has granted funds from that act to states, cities, and counties. Those funds are going into affordable housing projects because a lot of these projects, just because construction prices are increasing so rapidly, have experienced these huge increases. A lot of our projects have and have had to go back for these additional resources. So I would encourage policymakers to be open to putting these resources back in their project. I think it means, unfortunately, that we're going to have to do fewer projects until policy can kind of catch up to where the industry is in terms of construction going up so much. And it's a challenge that a lot of developers are dealing with and has been the talk of policy conversations around affordable housing.
And we're running short on time, unfortunately. But Ben, if there was one thing you could wave your magic wand and change to, yes, you just did that motion for our listeners who couldn't see it, and change to make this kind of development easier or make it faster or get more of it done, what would it be?
One thing.
I know you have a big old list for Santa Claus, but I'm talking about one thing that you could do if there is one.
Yeah. So I would say streamlining the process overall. As Tim said, there's lots of funding that has become available from lots of different places, some of them one-time funds. All of those come with their own restrictions. And so often the stew of funding that we have is so complex that that we're spending time and resources figuring out how to mix those up, and we're not spending that time producing units.
Mm. Well, I've been talking with WVXU local government reporter Becca Costello, Over the Rhine Community Housing senior housing developer Ben Eilerman, Urban Sites Affordable Housing Vice President Tim Westrick, and 8K Development Company partner Michael Tuning. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lucy.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Technical director is Derek Smith. And I'm Lucy May. Thanks so much for listening. Tune in tomorrow for the News Review.